Hey everyone, and welcome to Imagine the Possibilities with Intellia, where we showcase Intellia talent across departments. My name is Maritza Gamboa, Senior Manager, Talent Attraction Programs. On this show, we take deep dives into all things culture and careers. We talk about career steps and missteps, development, growth, and more. Just imagine the possibilities of what we can learn together. Today, we are imagining the possibilities with Marika St. Amand, Chief Human Resources Officer. Marika joined Intellia back in January 2020, right at the start of the global pandemic. Prior to joining Intellia, Marika was Senior Director of Human Resources for Alnylam Pharmaceuticals and part of the leadership team that built the company's HR infrastructure. She has a Bachelor's of Arts in History from Tufts University and holds certifications in MBTI and DISC. Hi, Marika. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us. In the show intro, I provided a quick introduction, but we'd love to have you start and share your elevator pitch version of your bio.
Sure. Thanks for having me. So I started at Intellia January 2020. So just before COVID hit. So it was interesting timing to take the head of HR job on. And I'm sure we'll talk about that some more. But prior to that, I spent a lot of my career in biotech. I was at Alnylam for 5 years before that. I spent a good 10 years at Biogen doing a host of different roles within HR. And I actually started at Biogen in an investor relations role. So prior to getting into HR, yeah, I had done some other things. I had done IR. I did public relations at one point. I worked for a magazine. So I had a little bit of a, wasn't a direct route into HR. So I did a number of things before I decided I wanted to do this for a living. But then once I transferred in, I sort of found a home for my place and discovered I loved it.
Great.
Which is how I ended up here.
Wow, I had no idea. That's very cool. What magazine did you work for? What kind of writing did you do for them?
I actually wasn't writing. So I was working for MIT's Tech Review.
Oh, wow.
And so I had this job where I was basically the assistant to the head of BD and public affairs. Mm-hmm. And so I did a lot of project work. I ran a bunch of their events that we used to have.
Oh, nice.
Because my boss did PR, she sort of taught me how to write press releases. So I ended up, she at one point went off and did her own company, and I ended up working for her for a little bit.
Nice.
Which is how I then end up in investor relations. I interviewed at the small biotech company, first biotech I had ever worked for, but they had posted an investor relations job.
Oh.
And the hiring manager was a PhD. She didn't know how to write a press release. I convinced her I could write a press release. And then voila, I end up in biotech. Like,
wow.
I had to end up there. Just sounded like a cool job, was an interesting company. And that's kind of where I started in biotech.
Oh, that's great. I love that. So we looked at your LinkedIn and we saw that you graduated with a degree in history. And we're wondering if you can speak more about that. And I know you touched a bit just now about how you got into HR, but maybe if you see any similarities between the two, or if there's no crossover.
The similarity is history teaches you how people behave.
Nice. Okay.
Which is a lot of what you're doing in HR. Truth be told, I was an undergrad at Tufts. I'm not sure I knew what I wanted to do. I loved reading. I liked writing. I was definitely geared toward the liberal arts. I was mm-hmm. not going to be caught dead in a chemistry lab doing anything like that. And so history, I just really loved it. And so it was a lot of reading and a lot of writing, and it was stuff that I liked doing. And if you want to learn about human behavior, then history is probably the best thing to study.
Yeah.
In that regard, it was quite helpful.
So yeah, I was going to say, it kind of makes sense, actually.
Not really direct relation, though I did at one point work on an HR team where we started comparing degrees at one point, and I think there were at least four of us who were history majors out of like five or something.
Wow.
So not terribly uncommon.
That's interesting. That's great. Okay. And so now, of course, you are our CHRO for Intellia. And I'm curious if you can share any skills or experiences you believe are required to be an effective head of HR.
I think you have to know and understand the business, and you have to love learning about the business. You can't really be effective unless you understand those things. And so spending time with scientists, understanding what we're doing, spending time with people in the various functions who can sort of teach you about it. At the end of the day, you know, we're there to partner with the functions. We're there to support the functions. We have to help hire. The company doesn't get built without us. I think the first and fundamental requirement is love the business you're in, you know, and it's the wonderful thing about Intellia. It's like the science is so amazing and so extraordinary. And what we're doing is just like groundbreaking. And to me, it's like that love of what we're doing is really what drives us. You know, in terms of hard skills, sometime in one of the centers of excellence, knowing something about comp, knowing something about benefits, I think finding that spot in HR that you really excel and you really love at, because at the end of the day, you know, the business is going to turn to you for the expertise in whatever that space is, and being able to have some of that depth of experience to bring to the table. But I also think it helps to spend time, you know, when I was a business partner, I've supported R&D, I've supported manufacturing, I've supported program management, I've supported finance. I think that is one of the things that has actually really, really helped me, in that I got to spend a lot of time in those different parts, and being able to connect the business and bring people together when we need to. I think those can be really, really helpful skills.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, which actually goes nicely to my next question. Do you feel like experience, let's say like a job outside of HR, maybe one of those areas, is necessary? Or have you seen it done before where someone started and then moved into HR? Or to your point, maybe you can get that experience within HR without needing to like do that as a job full time.
It's not necessary to step outside of HR. I do think it can be helpful, because then you understand the impact of some of the programs you're trying to implement. If you're trying to set up a review process, what's critical to that is, you know, there's that, what do we think is the best practice as HR professionals? And then there's, what does a manager need to be able to do that? What will they find helpful? What's going to motivate people? What's going to get them to a better performance? And being able to spend some time with those managers and those employees that are actually going to use the systems you're implementing is a really key thing. What I always shy away from is, you know, there are HR professionals who go into kind of HR speak. And as someone who wasn't always in HR, I think I'm just very sensitive to it when people start using these funky acronyms. And I'm like, you got to put this stuff in plain English, and it's got to be useful, and it's got to be practical. And at the end of the day, we're there to help people. And if they have to decipher through our HR acronyms of what we're saying, that's not a good
thing. They're not going to listen.
It's not going to work. You know, it's not HR for the sake of HR.
Yeah.
But I think any experience you can bring, whether it's skills you developed within HR or skills from outside, are very useful. I mean, I had an old boss who really liked hiring interns who had bartending, waitressing experience.
Oh, interesting. And
at first I was like, why are you doing that? Like, it just seems so strange. And then I realized he was looking for people who could talk to their peers. And it didn't need to be HR experience that showed that, but he liked people who were sociable and who were empathetic and who were very approachable. And to him, and I don't necessarily disagree with him, those were very transferable skills. And in some of those jobs, you know, not everything always goes to plan, and you need to know how to problem solve and need to know how to talk someone through something. They're great skills to have.
Definitely. So, you know, that's great.
Good skills can really come from anywhere.
That's helpful, especially for anyone listening who might want to get into HR. You don't need that degree or background necessarily. HRs around the world have definitely played a big role in supporting employees during this COVID-19 pandemic. And so I'm curious what you've learned about leading people.
Yeah, it's been 2020 was definitely crazy. Hopefully not something we ever have to repeat. And hopefully we're moving past some of this stuff. I credit the organization with the resilience that employees brought, the energy that people had towards solving some of the problems in front of us. To me, the most important thing about leading through this thing was just to know how to listen to people. Mm. You don't, as the leader, necessarily need to stand up there and have all the answers. Mm-hmm. I do think it's important you take the questions and listen to what people need. And there were times when we were in a town hall and someone would ask a question and I have to say, I don't have an answer for you.
Yeah.
For me to be transparent, there are going to be times when I'm going to tell you, I don't have an answer and I'm going to have to come back to you. I do think the things that helped us sort of weather through kind of the worst bits of it were we took a lot of the challenges that we had as an organization and we turned around and said, okay, if there's a group of employees who can help us with this, and we'd pull them together and say, all right, here's the problem, guys. What do you think we should do?
Mm-hmm.
And we got some pretty creative solutions coming from within Intellia. These weren't things that were dictated down by HR or operations or anyone else. But I think part of our success was because of the fact that we could sort of tap the collective brain power.
Yeah.
And say, all right, guys, how do we do this thing? And I do think that's been a large portion of how we got through 2020 and did it quite well and met all our goals and did some really astounding things. And, you know, that's a credit to the folks who work at Intellia more than it is, I think, me or any other individual standing up in front of the room. I think you just have to listen to people and make sure that you are engaging them to help you think some of this stuff through.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I know I joined well into COVID, but I was very impressed with the COVID team, as you all called it, and people from a bunch of different groups coming together every day, if not more, every week, if not more frequently. So I can see how that brain power and running through ideas together would be useful. How long did it take you all to form that? Or was it just like, we need some sort of group here?
It was an interesting thing. So I think, so as we started to hear the news of COVID breaking out, Biogen, of course, had a meeting and a bunch of people were affected. So we started to, it was myself and the head of operations started talking, and it was a little bit of a, we pulled ourselves together. No one appointed us. No one told us to go do this. But as we started to work through some of the issues and some of the things we knew we were going to have to deal with, we literally went and just grabbed the people we thought could help us.
That's great.
And so we grabbed IT because we knew we knew connecting people was going to be a big thing.
Right.
We grabbed legal because there were a whole bunch of questions popping up. We have our total rewards person because there were questions around benefits and leaves.
Oh, yep.
How was that going to work? We grabbed one of our business leaders because we were like, we don't want to mandate how things are going to work on site. Mm-hmm. If you're running labs and you tell us it's not going to work. We even had questions at one point, you know, the science has been developing, obviously, as we learn more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at one point, you know, we were having a conversation around like testing and how does this work and what's reliable. And we were like, does anyone know this stuff? So we went and grabbed a doctor, right? Like we grabbed our physicians on site because we needed someone who could explain this stuff to the rest of us.
Yeah.
But I think that cross section of people, so it was a little bit of a ad hoc. We just kind of pulled ourselves together and started to form what we thought the path was and what we mm-hmm. needed to do. But it was very much a, you know, let's think about who we need at the table and make sure we bring them into the conversation.
That's great. One of my favorite stories, maybe not so favorite for you, but when you first started, the company used to plan an annual ski weekend up in New Hampshire. And it was the first weekend of March, which all of us can remember was the start of COVID or what felt like it. And so I remember hearing that at the last minute with even employees up in New Hampshire already, you had to make a call whether to cancel or let the trip happen. And I'm curious to how you handled that stressful situation, especially when you're making a call you know people might not be so happy about.
It was horrible. it was really not fun. So we were in the office, and I remember I was having a conversation with some folks on the HR team, and they're like, "Oh, we have the annual ski trip going up." And I'm like, "Oh, that sounds fun." They're like, "Yeah, you know, on Monday, everyone takes the day off and goes up there." And I was like, "Oh, okay. So who's going?" And, you know, like people started like, "Oh, I'm going, I'm going." I was like, "Oh, that seems like a lot of people." And I said, "Okay, well, I don't ski. I'm just not coordinated enough to be doing that."
Same.
So I was like, "Whoever isn't going, you know, let's go out to a big fancy lunch while the rest of you are
Oh,
skiing."
nice.
I think there were only like two of us not going. So everyone's all excited for this. We had employees who were planning on going up earlier. So I think the event was Monday and some people were going up Friday, Saturday. And I remember talking to the head of operations, and he and I were having this conversation, and there's this ski trip going on, and we're trying to get our heads around. I'm like, "So how many people are getting on buses, and how many buses are going?" And like, "So 200 to 300 people are on a bus? Oh, that's how okay."
Oh my God.
And in the meantime, we started to hear about the Biogen conference. Biotech is a very, very small world. I mean, you know, I still have colleagues and friends who work there, and we had employees who had spouses or roommates who worked there. We had people who might have been living with someone who went to the event or knew someone who was, it was just, there were a lot of close contacts. COVID wasn't in full force, at least we didn't know it at the time. And so we made the really difficult decision. We figured it was better to act in an abundance of caution, and have people upset with us than send a bunch of people and end up, you know, with a story where, hey, a whole bunch of Intelli employees got sick.
Oh
It
my
just
God.
felt awful. Like it was one of those things where I'm thinking, I'm the new head of HR and I'm about to like tell everybody, "Sorry guys, I'm canceling your ski
No
trip."
fun for you.
You know, and we figured, look, worst case scenario, we could always reschedule. We'll do something
That's
else.
true.
Hopefully it'll be a few weeks. We'll weather the storm. And I was like, if they don't like me, that's okay. But I'd rather that people were like safe and come across as overly cautious than the opposite. We had an HR team member who was already at the site, and we literally called him and were like, "You need to tell people to come
Oh
home.
no.
This isn't happening." And
Can
so
you
I felt
imagine?
worse for him because he was on the ground telling
Yeah,
people,
in
like,
person.
"Okay, guys, go home."
Oh.
So yeah, we canceled it. And I remember the week after, we still kept getting questions of like, "Oh, can we use the ski pass later, or can we replan the trip?"
Oh, right. They would have had their passes already.
And we just kept going, "You know what? We'll see. Don't worry about it. We'll see. We'll do the best that we can to reschedule." And of course, it didn't happen. I felt horrible about it, though. It was awful.
Of course, now everyone looks back and knows it was the right decision. So that's a good feeling. Goodness. Well, that's great. A great way to start. So switching gears, you have an adorable daughter who joins our HR meetings time to time. And so I'm curious if we can talk more about being a working parent and maybe especially working from home the past year and what that's been like.
It's been an interesting experience. I will say I am in a very privileged position where my husband is taking care of her. He happened to be in a place where he was looking at switching careers, and so he had given notice and was planning on leaving his job. And then COVID happened, and so it was just good timing on our part that he was home. And certainly not everyone has that ability to be able to do that. It's been challenging. I mean, I think, you know, I was sort of raised with the there was a separation between work and home, and when you go to work, whatever happens at home, you leave at home and you don't bring that with you and you just put that behind you. And then suddenly I'm working in a guest bedroom and I don't even have a desk at this point because, like, you know, my daughter's outside and she just turned 3, and I remember when we went home, she had learned how to use the doorknob, so she would come to the door and rattle the doorknob because she wanted to come in. And it would make me very anxious because I was like, "Oh God, here's this little person at the door, and I don't want to ignore her, but like, I'm going to work." I learned how to be patient, and quite frankly, you know, now I just open the door. She comes in. She says hi to who's ever on the video. She's very excited about that. And then she leaves, and she just wants to see you and say hi. But it took me a while to get comfortable with that, you know. And then I realized over time, like, if I don't do it, then how are other people going to be comfortable with it? Like, and I don't want people to feel uncomfortable because they're working at home and they have family and they have boyfriends, they've got girlfriends, there's pets. Like, mm-hmm. I want people to know that, like, at least at Intellia, we don't just welcome you, but your family and everything that comes with you. And so I think as I thought about it, I was like, you know what? It's good for people to see that my daughter's like sneaking in. I'm like, I'm fine with that now. At one point I had to record a video for town hall and she sort of snuck in sideways. And I was like, we're sending it in as is because that's what life is.
Yeah.
There are not these clean lines between home and work. Let's not pretend they exist and let's just embrace it for what it is and go with it.
That's great. Yeah. I think I couldn't agree more. It's such a good message to everyone. You don't have to be embarrassed or hide it. And it seems like it was much simpler to let her just come in, say hi, and leave. Otherwise, she would, who knows, been rattling the door.
Yeah,
the
whole time. Honestly, I tell her new employees now. I'm like, everyone's welcome. Don't feel like you have to hide it. I had a new employee a couple months ago. He had his newborn daughter on his lap. And I was like, it's great. Like, you know what? This is the stuff we're all having to balance right now.
Yeah.
And in some ways, COVID has been nice because at least those of us who are parents, like, have been able to see our kids at home maybe a little bit more than we would have otherwise. And in that regard, you know, I think that's been a good thing.
Definitely. That's a great plus. So on a similar topic as being a woman in leadership, I was looking at the new or the most recent, I should say, McKinsey Women in the Workplace report. And it said that women hold 21% of C-suite level roles. So I'm curious what your experience has been, if you feel like that is represented in the biotech industry, and then if you have any advice for female professionals looking to get into the C-suite.
You know, I will say this is my first job as the HRO. I don't have a lot to compare it to in terms of what is it like at other places. You know, I can certainly speak for Intellia, and we are, I think, in a very fortunate position where we have some very strong female leaders. I think that has made it a very welcoming environment. There is diversity on our executive team of experiences and where people came from, of where they've worked. But I think, you know, knowing that there is kind of other women there who are supporting each other and propping each other up, I think that network really does help for a number of reasons, right? You're not the only person in the meeting. It's not like I'm one woman in a sea of guys sitting in a room. But I also think it helps, you know, we have an informal, we do like drinks once a month informally. And we and I think that helps because you have other folks to sort of share your experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Or other folks to throw things off of and be able to sort of have some of that banter. It's been an extremely positive experience for me. You know, I can't speak to other organizations, but at least for me, the last year and a half, I can't say I've had any sort of negative experience associated with being female. If anything, I think it's a great thing. And I think it puts me in a position where I can help more women get to this level. And that's a wonderful thing and something I hope to keep doing and want to mentor people the way I was mentored, because I think that helped me a lot.
Do you feel like there was anything maybe in your mentoring experience that helped get you to where you are? Any groundbreaking tips of advice or moments in your life that you feel like led you to this path?
You know, I think the first thing is be humble and learn as much as you can from people.
That's great.
I did have some very strong examples of, I think, women who, you know, when they tell you to take a seat at the table, it means take a seat at the table. Pull up and don't be afraid to find your voice.
Yeah.
Regardless of who's in the room, regardless of what the titles are, like, don't be afraid to speak up. I do think that helps. I also think you have to find your own voice in your own style and in your own way. People influence in very different ways. And it doesn't mean you have to mimic the guy next to you. You can do it in a way that's authentic to you. But I certainly had some female leaders who were very strong in that, you know, if you came into the room and you sat in the back because you were, you know, the quote unquote junior person, they would literally look at you and go like, no, come here. Like,
that's
come
awesome.
Sit next to me. You are part of the conversation. And I think that sort of encouragement did really help me. And it's something that I try if I see someone who's holding back.
Yeah.
You know, if I've got one of my team members in the room and the executive's looking to me at the answer and they're the expert at it, I will frequently turn to them and be like, hey, can you weigh in on this for me? Because I want their voices heard and I want them in the room.
So for anyone listening, if you get that moment, embrace it, take yeah. it, find your style.
Not always comfortable, but embrace it.
True. Great. And so before we wrap up with some rapid fire questions, I would love to hear maybe what's next for your career, your life, just in general, what you're thinking about for the future.
Right now, you know, as I think about kind of where we are as a company, for mm-hmm. me, it's about building Intellia. And if you look at my resume, there's probably one thing in common in all the organizations I've been at. They've all tend to be sort of fast paced, high growth. I love that build.
Yeah.
And seeing at the end of the day, like, this is the organization that I put together, or at least that I was able to contribute to and be part yeah. of that. So, I mean, for me, the really exciting thing is being able to be in a place where we're building a company, we're bringing medicine to patients, and sort of seeing something through is where the excitement comes from. After that, we'll see. I'm not so great. Good at things when they're steady state. I kind of like when they're a little bit messy and you're trying to figure it out. I think this is the fun part.
Definitely. That's very exciting. All right. So I wrap up every podcast with three rapid fire questions. So the first is, if you could have any job, regardless of talent or money, what would it be?
Oh, it's a hard one. regardless of talent or money, if I could pay someone to let me travel the world,
ooh, nice.
I'm happy to be a food critic. I just love ooh. Trying different cuisines. So, you know,
that's
if
great.
Someone wants to like fund that little trip around the world, I'm happy to do that.
That's awesome. That's
we'll
a great job.
Make myself available.
And then what's something you're currently working on in your role that you're excited about?
Honestly, just helping build the company.
Great.
It is so exciting. And, you know, it's a unique place to be where you have such astounding science. And like, what I love about Intellia is that it is this incredibly collaborative culture. And people are not sort of carbon copies of each other. You've mm-hmm. got people from all walks of life, from all different nationalities, from all different places, and being able to sort of harness that energy, to me, is the fun part.
That answers my next question. What's your favorite thing about working at Intellia? But I think you hit it. There's a lot to love. That's great. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great talking. Thanks for listening to our final episode of season one. I felt ending on a high note with Marika's interview was the best possible ending I could think of. She has such great knowledge and wisdom to share. This podcast started as a small passion project for me, and I'm so thankful to Marika and my manager, Sean, for letting my dream of launching a podcast become a reality. Thank you to my legal team for listening to every episode ahead of airing, and thank you to you, the listener, for spending 30 minutes with me each episode. I'm excited to share we were approved for season two. I'll have a whole new lineup of guest speakers, so check back in early 2022. Thanks.